Good to see everybody here this morning. We're still missing a few, but we do have some here that are visiting with us, and we want you to feel welcome, and we hope that you appreciate our time we spend worshiping God. And this morning I want to talk about a subject which we all have basically succumbed to: peer pressure. And if we interact with anybody, we have to deal with peer pressure. Much of God's covenant with Israel of old dealt with human relations. And in fact, much of the New Testament deals with human relations. That's very important. And we need to talk about that all the time and constantly remind ourselves about these human relations and building these relationships and maintaining them. And so various laws that were given pointed out how the Jew was to conduct himself among his peers. Now, you go through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Exodus. There's a lot of laws given about how to treat your fellow man and how to treat them fairly. And when we get to the New Testament, Jesus kind of repeated these things. How to treat your fellow man is very important. So, one of these admonitions was, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And that's very true. A lot of people, they'd get in a mob, and of course, we know what mob violence is. We've seen it happen a lot of times, especially on the news. Someone doesn't like what's going on, and so they get a bunch of people, they rile them up, and then next thing you know, there's rocks flying and bottles being thrown and people getting hurt. And this multitude usually will go towards evil. And the admonition is not to do that. So it's a very important decree, and it showed the danger of peer pressure and point out the very explicitly the dangers of being led astray by evil men. And that's what we see. We see the news cameras. They're focused on somebody saying, get out there and kill them, get out there and kill them, get out and burn the place down, or something like that. And then next thing you know, well, how did this happen? Well, we know how it happened. They just got some people riled up, and they said, we're going to do that. And it happens all the time. In peer pressure, we look at it's an important factor in our lives. And it has been that from time past to the present. We still make a lot of our decisions based on what somebody else is going to think about me. We may not realize that. But what keeps me from doing what maybe I should be doing is, well, what will they think about me? And a lot of times with a lot of us, we sometimes, well, I could mention the name of Christ, but what would my peers think about me? What would they say about me? Would they ridicule me or something like that? And so we're constrained to be bold and explicit and to have the confidence to talk about Jesus simply because of fear. Being afraid of what somebody, especially our friends, would say about us. And perhaps as never before, peer pressure is an issue we have to wrestle with. And everybody goes through this. And there's nobody is immune to it. And as we were growing up, those of us who are now getting up there in years, we realize, yeah, I operated off of peer pressure most of the time. And we try and warn the younger people that, hey, watch out for peer pressure, because this can affect your soul if you're not careful. And we try and warn them, but probably they're going to have to find out themselves. And this issue arises because we spend more time with non-Christians than we do Christians. And let's face it, if everybody was honest with us, you do spend a lot more time with non-Christians. People who don't have an interest in your soul, people who don't care about anything but themselves, and so you spend a lot of time with them. They might be your classmates, they might be schoolmates, they might be your co-workers, they might be your neighbors. But whatever the case, What they normally do and what you should be doing are usually two different things. So, and oftentimes that is the only association we can find. For some people, it's very difficult. But as a Christian, you can probably go to your school and count the number of true Christians, maybe on one hand, if you're lucky. You might get this far yourself. And that's the case. You go to the workplace, your coworkers, how many are Christians? Yourself. That's pretty much it. And so we just have to understand there's an important aspect and lesson we need to learn here. That we don't need them to dictate to us how we should be living. It should be the other way around. All right. A leading educator noted that peer pressure is the strongest influence exerted on young people today. And that's very true. Young people, they're very impressionable, and they want to fit in. And here's the key. Just like we all want to fit in. If we're with a group of people, we want to feel like we're part of the group. And that's just our nature. That's what we want. That's what we crave. We crave acceptance from other people. And so how do we do this? By doing what they expect of us. And he stated in most cases twice as strong as the influence of home and family and yields a far greater influence than religion. I mean, when you go to church 1 hour a week or 2 or 3 hours a week and you're only home just a few hours in the evening with your family, the rest of your time you're hanging out with your buds, hanging out with your friends. And so there's a lot of influence there that we have to be mindful of. And all young people want to be accepted by their peers, and old people aren't any different. We want to be accepted by our peers also. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So here's the point. If to do so means disobeying parents and selling out personal convictions, some are willing to do just that to be part of the bunch. I mean, let's face it. You have a bunch of coworkers. Get off of work. Somebody pulls out the cooler and starts passing out the beer. Oh, wait a minute. What am I going to do? Well, you don't want to be left out. You don't want to look like the oddball. So what do? Well, I'll get in there. Then you get in your car and get stopped down the road, and guess what? Big fine and all that stuff. Possible. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes people are lucky. But you sold out your conviction because I know I shouldn't be doing this, but what are they going to say about me? All right. So in dealing with young folks and their problem of peer pressure, we often quote and expound on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Very simply, evil companionship corrupts good morals. And that's true. You hang around a bunch of bad people, what are they going to do? They're going to get you to turn away from your good morals. You cannot hang around these people and be an influence on them, because they don't want it. So, in order to be accepted by them, what do? You act like them. And you talk like them. I mean, there's probably a lot of you young people, you get out there and you get away from the home, you're using every four-letter word in the book just to impress your buds. That is not right. That is wrong. The Bible tells us how Christians are supposed to let their speech be seasoned with grace. Let their speech be of such a nature that it brings about edifying. And that doesn't do it. But you want to fit in. And so this is a very important verse dealing with this subject. I mean, we can even expand this where maybe not such evil people, but people who just aren't Christians. Maybe they're good moral people you hang around, but they're not true Christians. They don't believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They don't believe that they have a soul. They don't care about your soul. That type of companionship doesn't help either. You need to change the structure of that. Teach them to become a Christian. And then there's no problem hanging around them. So this admonition does caution against the dangers of peer pressure and being exerted by those who are void of spiritual convictions and virtues. And let's face it, everyone which you consider a friend, whether it's a co-worker, a schoolmate, or a neighbor, do they have spiritual convictions? If they do, they're the type of people you should be hanging around. But chances are, they're not. And what does that keep you from doing? It keeps you from exerting your spiritual convictions. Well, I can't do that because it's wrong. You remember when Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to sleep with her? I cannot commit this sin against God. Who was there to judge him? He was all by himself. He was alone in a land far away from home. And he could have just given in. But he says, I will not do this because it's a sin against God. And that's what we have to remember. If we claim to be a child of God, we've got to hold to those moral convictions and those virtues. So we need to continue to warn our young people, because we've been there. I guarantee you, every one of us has been there. We've been through it. We have drunk the beer when they pulled it out. We have spewed the four-letter words and the curse words and things like that just to fit in. We've done it. But there is a danger with that. And we want to warn you of that danger. We don't want them to rob you of your virtues. And so that's why we feel compelled to bring it up. But like I said, peer pressure is not limited to the young. The older are just as influenced by their peers as the younger. Now, perhaps we do not want to harm our relationship with our longtime friends by bringing up spiritual matters. You realize you have friends. They come by. They come and visit. You call them up on the phone. How often do you talk to them about church? About getting their life right with God? Well, if you want them to keep coming around, you probably don't. Because, you know, they just don't want to hear anything about it. But yet you don't want to hurt your relationship. So, well, I can still be a Christian and just not bring it up with this individual. So we are very selective. You know, God is no respecter of persons. God wants everybody to hear the same message. We must remember that. At all stages of life, there are peer pressure put on us with those whom we mix and mingle every day. Now, some people, they spend a lot of time with Christians. And as a preacher, and I've heard a lot of preachers say, you know, their life is very insulated, because the majority of their time is spent with other Christians. And it is wonderful. There's no doubt about that. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. I don't have to go to work and deal with a bunch of foul-mouthed individuals every day. And so, I mean, that's a blessing there. But yet, there was a time when I did go to work every day. And I did put up with that foul language and all the suggestions and everything else, things which are physically impossible to do. And yet, I appreciate so much being around Christians. So the Bible is not silent on this matter by any means. And men and women of God have always faced immense pressures in dealing with their peers all the time. And when God has spoken, he has always done so with a stern warning about letting our associates rob us of our moral integrity. Happens over and over, and we have plenty of examples in the Bible. And one of these examples occurred in the life of Peter. You remember Peter? Yeah, one of the associates of Jesus, one of our favorite Bible characters, and we should be because there's a lot talked about Peter. And we think how great a Christian he was. He was very strong. But yet, there was a time when peer pressure got to him. He was one of Christ's most ardent followers. We hear him saying in Matthew 26, "Even if I must die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." You remember that lesson? Yeah, "I'll never deny you, Lord." And he got really mad and irate and even started cursing. "How dare you say that?" He said, "Lord, with thee I'm ready to go both to prison and to death." Yeah, that's how much I want to spend. I want to be with you, Lord. That's how much I appreciate you, Lord. But on that fateful night that Jesus was arrested, the mock trial of the Lord, Peter followed afar off. And he was hanging around with a bunch of other people. He stood with the wrong crowd, the enemies of the Lord. And guess what? They asked him, "Aren't you one of him? Aren't you one of his disciples? Don't you know him?" He cursed, he swore, and denied that he even knew him. Then the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had told him just a few hours before. I mean, we're just talking a matter of hours. "I'll go to the death with you, Lord. I never heard of him before. I don't know who he is." Because of the peer pressure, Peter was looking out for his own skin all of a sudden. And that really affected him. When in the crowd of unbelievers, he relented to peer pressure. Now there's others. And it's a lesson for us today. When we're alone with the wrong crowd, those with no regard for the Lord or spiritual values, we're at the most vulnerable moment of our spiritual life. We really are. We're vulnerable to give up our convictions, to basically giving us the opportunity to deny our Lord. And so we're vulnerable then. So doesn't it make sense to seek out and spend time with Christians? Because they want to be with you. They want to be spiritually minded. They want to be edified by you. And they want to, in turn, you edify them. That's what they want. And so often, like Peter, the pressures from our peers lead us to downfall. Now, why do we do it? That's a good question. Because we do not want to upset our friends. Remember that? We don't want to upset our friends. So we just give in. And sometimes we have the attitude, "Well, I'll get right with the Lord later on. I'll go ahead and do this. I'll drink the beer. I'll curse and swear. And I'll do all this other stuff. But I'll just make it up to the Lord later on." What if that opportunity never arrives? What if somehow, in a drunken state, you lose your life? You know, some people, "Oh, well, he was a Christian. He's still going to heaven." Really? Why do we do it? Because we don't find friends that are interested in spiritual matters. And that's quite obvious. I'll give you a challenge. Ask your friends if they'd be open to having a Bible study with you and see what their reaction is. Well, you probably already know what their reaction is going to be, so that's why you're not going to ask. But it is important. They might think us strange for bringing up spiritual thoughts, spiritual matters, talking about our souls and talking about salvation. Then the question I have for you is, do they even care if you make it to heaven? Think about your best friend in this world. Do they care if you go to heaven or not? Well, if your best friend is a Christian, the answer is yes, they do care. But if your best friend is not a Christian, they really don't care. That's when it comes upon you to care about their soul. And there's only one way you're going to be able to help that individual is by teaching them the truth. Teaching them about God. Teaching them about spiritual matters. That's on you. to teach them. So do they demonstrate that they want to go to heaven? You know, everybody seems like they want to go to heaven. Those that are aware of it, who think about how grand heaven's going to be, everybody wants, nobody wants to go to the other place. We know that. All right, let's talk some more. There's other examples in the New Testament on this subject. You know, peer pressure played a leading role in the rejection of Christ by the rulers of the synagogue. In John 12, verses 42 and 43, it talks about these people. They believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. There were people who believed, yes, Jesus, this is the Messiah. But the Pharisees had warned them, you turn over and you start following Jesus, we're going to kick you out. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to get kicked out. So they denied him. And peer pressure was the deciding factor in the crime of Herod, as we read there in Mark chapter 6. And it's also recorded in Matthew chapter 14. Herod wanted to protect him and keep him alive and listen to him. And it grieved him. But it says, them that sat me with him. He said, what will they? He made an oath. What will my friends think about me if I go back on my oath? It was that peer pressure that allowed him to, wait a minute, I'm the king. I'm going to decide what is acceptable or not. No. He wanted to save face with his peers, his friends. And that prevented him from backing down on his promise. And it resulted in the deed of John the Baptist being beheaded. So in this we see the influence and power of wicked men. And really how insidious peer pressure actually is. But now, we've mentioned it a few times. What's the other side of the coin? If we turn it around. See, not all of the characters of the Bible collapsed under the pressure of their associates. Some people decided to remain strong in their faith. We mentioned Joseph, remember? He could have, without any problem, nobody around to see him. He could have given in. He said, no, I will not sin against God. That's what we need to be saying. Many stood, sometimes alone, in the face of severe pressure put on them by others. If you read the account of the martyrs of the Bible, all of the apostles, how horrible deaths most of them went through. Even some of them even survived. You know, John, who wrote his Revelation, at one time he would not deny his Christ. They dropped him into boiling oil. How he survived, I don't know, but he did. And he was able to pen this gospel, the letters, and the Revelation because of that. And many others who believed in Christ would not deny him. And they were burned at the stake. They were torn. They were crucified. They were killed in so many different ways. See, Paul is also an example. He didn't allow his peers to dictate his actions. Paul let God dictate his actions, and so should we. See, we need to always be aware of the immense pressures put on us by our peers, especially those with regard for God and spiritual values. Those are the ones we need to seek out. And if our peers do not seek these spiritual values, we need to teach them. Let us profit from the mistakes others made and redouble our efforts to not yield to these peer pressures as they did. And do not forget the environment of where you are adds to this peer pressure. You go in with a bunch of buddies, you know, well, I'm not going to drink, but you go into the bar with them. I mean, that's the temptation is there. Yeah, they want to buy you a round or something like that. And then, of course, you're already made a mistake by going in the place. What is your influence if someone sees you coming out of the place? What does that do to your influence? We need to resolve to overcome peer pressure and let our light shine as Jesus would have us do. Consider those thoughts. We need to teach people how to become Christians. We do that, first of all, by our example. We have to let our light shine, and they need to see that. And then when they ask, what do I need to do to be saved? You tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess his name, be baptized for the remission of sins, and then live a faithful life. This invitation is extended to all, those who haven't obeyed the gospel and those who have but yet need to get their life right with God. If you can do so in a public way, we can do that, or I encourage you to go home and get right with God by prayer. Whatever the case might be, we offer the invitation to you while together we stand and sing.